My age is written on the candle. It's only one. Make my wish. But I have no wish. Well, I'd wish for you all. I didn't know there was so much joy and fun in having birthdays. It is because of your joy I enjoy so much. Words are inadequate to express what I feel. I remember when I went to India in 1935 and 36, I remembered what Jesus said and why he said, "Who is my father, who is my mother, sister and brother, but who loves God?" And with great awe I felt, all those of you whose life I have lived, each one of you, and the joy of your spiritual growth had been so impinged in my consciousness that I felt my real brothers and sisters are those who love God. Parents are given to us by God, and the real father is God, and the real mother is God, and real brothers and sisters are those who love God. So I remember that feeling, that indescribable feeling in India. And all those of you who have lived up to my ideals and whose lives I have lived in myself, I know each of you. And I know that you haven't deceived me in any way. You couldn't if you tried, for I was within you. And I never have deceived any of you in word, speech, or mind. That's why the God in us became manifest and we realize the joy of living in a spiritual family where God is the father and the mother and we are his children. So this birthday is very significant to me. Though my body was born in the womb of a very divine mother, I was born in your heart, through the heart of God. I never dreamt that such a fellow feeling would be possible, and it is because you have lived up to the ideals that I have cherished. The ideals which I cherished and lived for in the company of my great Guru Preceptor. So I am very, very fortunate to realize in this world that though loving my relatives truly and not limiting my love to them, I realize the greater love of God. For it is God who comes as the father and the mother and the brother and the sister, the husband and the wife and the children. We must not stop there. Why is it that two people, they marry, they have children, they have a family, then they are thrown apart? To grow the divine love. And we must not stop there. We must invest that love in the world. When we can make others our own, and you can't make others your own by any form of diplomacy. It is by the sincerity of your heart. As you know, relatives are imposed upon us, and we have to keep them if they are bad. But our spiritual relatives we can choose. And love and friendship can be only received as gifts. God comes to us as relatives to test us, but he comes to us as friend to give himself unto us. For in friendship, wherein we elect each other by the gift of the free choice of our hearts, we find the glory of God manifest. And never have I felt such a fellow feeling in the spiritual family in which I was born, as I feel in this divine family. Here, we have never asked who followed the Jewish religion or Christian religion or the Hindu religion. We have taken you all, as you know, because you love God. And that's why this birthday is very significant to me, because I was born in this family, this eternal family. I was born in your hearts. And that's why it gives me an indescribable joy, joy for the virtue of God in this family, for the God who is invisible and unseen. And while the audacity of the seen world eclipses the glory and the love of God, when we bring that invisible and the unseen power and make Him manifest in our daily life, then He appreciates us. For God has everything, but He hasn't our love. He created us with one expectation, perchance we would use our free choice to love Him in preference to His gifts. That's why Jesus said, "Bread the men of the world seek after. Gifts of God, these short-sighted people of the world seek after. But ye who are wise, ye who love God, love the giver of all gifts, and all things shall be added unto you, for all things belong to Him, including our bodies. Nor ye be of doubtful mind." This stupendous drama of this world, with the dance macabre of war, with death and life and smiles and sorrows and joys and pestilence, this great drama of history, the worlds and solar systems and stellar systems dancing all around in this vast sphere, with intelligence, a little bit of intelligence in our heart, by which we can cognize our surrounding, we realize that the Maker has one purpose. He created us. He gave us free choice. And He hasn't our love unless we give it to Him. This world is a hobby of God, but He is very sincere about this hobby. He divorced us from Himself, He repulsed us from Himself, cast us in delusion for one purpose, that in this drama we may realize, by the free choice of our hearts, that we love Him more than His gifts. And when we realize that, then we find that in this ephemeral world, when every 100 years 2,000 million people of the earth are whisked away into the unseen, that there is one purpose: to recognize Him who never talks of Himself, and yet in the fragrance of the rose in its core, in its window of beauty, He infinitely peeps at you and entertains you and calls you to the fragrance, "Come, somewhere in this rose I am hiding." In the gems, God first manifests, He reformed the earth into beauty. He wasn't satisfied. He became a little rose. And He called people with fragrance and beauty and softness to seek Him. They are hiding. He wasn't satisfied, so He became a bird, a whippoorwill, a nightingale, a moina, singing and singing this song of beauty. Then God became more manifest. He was becoming more visible, more audible, more manifest. He wasn't satisfied becoming a bird and the vast number of animals. He became man and woman to play the drama of feeling and reason. In man He kept reason open, feeling hidden. In woman He kept feeling uppermost with reason hidden. Therein lies the trouble between man and woman. Man says the woman, convinced against her will, is of the same opinion still. And woman says man cannot feel. Both are mistaken, for man helps to bring out a hidden reason in woman, and the woman brings out a hidden feeling in man. When that is done, then we reach perfection. But we don't have to have men and women to bring this out. When in our natures we develop reason and feeling in a balanced way, so that we enjoy wisdom with feeling and perception. Just whenever you see a rose, if you begin to weigh its petals, if you begin to analyze it, you don't enjoy the rose anymore. You enjoy the rose because it is a rose. That's why if you only see things with wisdom and measure people with intelligence as to what they have done, and in that measure recognize their love and friendship, then you haven't found God. When unconditionally you love people, in spite that they hurt you, if with that wisdom of God you still love people, then you begin to know that God does not reveal himself unto the prudent and the wise, but unto babes. Devotion, feeling, wisdom and reason, when they are commingled in our hearts, when with our feeling we enjoy our wisdom, then we can perceive truth even as God perceives wisdom, and does not arrive at conclusions through the dialectics of reason. One crow is black, two crows are black, millions of crows have been found to be black, therefore all crows are black. Well, this inductive reasoning is false, because they found white crows in Australia. Then you say, all men are mortal, this is a man, therefore he is mortal. Well, Jesus said, destroy this body and I shall build it again. He lived again. He resurrected himself, as Master resurrected himself, and as Babaji is still living in India. Whether you believe or not, that isn't the question. These are verities that exist. I remember a long time ago in India, I had a broker student, and he was all the time telling that there were no saints. He wasn't a student then, but he was telling how in India all these saints were beggars and they were fakes and so forth. So I said, how do you know? Well, he went on reiterating his opinion. So I changed the subject, and after a little while I started to talk about brokerage. Then I concluded that not one broker was honest and they didn't know their business. You should see him angry. He was like a raging bull. So he said, what do you know about brokerage? I said, I don't. Then I said, what do you know about saints? You made it your business to mix with brokers. I made it my business to find saints. And that reminds me of my experience when I was once coming from New York to Los Angeles dressed this way. A movie actor was sitting in front of me. He was extremely disgusted with my long hair and this robe. He was openly sarcastic. But I was highly amused. I knew to be angry with him would be childish, and to let him go on being angry was also foolish, so I thought of healing him. I said, pardon me, why do you make such a face? He said, none of your business. I said, of course it's my business, because every time I look ahead I have to see your face. So he started laughing. He said, what an audacious person you are. I said, we will understand each other in a little while. I said, you know, in this world we are all a little bit crazy and we don't know it. Because crazy people of the same kind mix with the same kind of crazy people. And I tell you, I know about your craziness. And if I were crazy like you, you would like me. And if you were crazy like I am, then we would like each other. But the thing is this, I know about your craziness, but you don't know what kind of craziness I have. and fools argue and wise men discuss. Let us discuss, and if at the end of the discussion, constructive discussion, I lose, I will follow you and be a movie actor. And I said, if you lose, you follow me. So we had a 2 hours discussion, and at the end of 2 hours he lost and I won, and I was saved from being a movie actor. The thing is, that's one of the greatest things Master said, that we are hypnotized by our environment and we can't see anything beyond the horizon of our experience. I often tell this to my audiences, that you call the Hindus heathens, but you don't know what they call you. They call you heathens too. If you are in India, in temples, they will make you feel that you are a heathen. As here, some many think that Hindus are heathens. But you know, ignorance is everywhere 50-50. And Rudyard Kipling said that East and West, the twain never will meet. Well, that's true. If the East and West were made of the same pattern, they couldn't learn from each other. It was because they are different that they can learn from each other. But the two other lines of Rudyard Kipling are never quoted, that when a strong man of the East and a strong man of the West meet, the twain will always meet. When understanding people of East and West come together, they will find a common ground of understanding. In the East, we emphasize more meditation, more calmness. In the West, building of the hive. But both the hive of material life and the honey of peace are necessary. And when we balance them, then we find happiness. If we live in a cave, all of us, we will die of diseases. We have to live in this world, but not become a part of the world. On this little ball, floating in space with infinite ether around it, we must realize why we don't go off, why the ocean doesn't run into the sky, why everything doesn't fall apart when the earth is going through two motions. We must realize that we are the product of a vast intelligence, inconceivably big. But the ocean is in the drop, and the ocean is made of the drop. So we are very little compared to the vast universe around us. And this isn't the only earth, this isn't the only universe. Many universes are floating like islands in the great vast sphere of my Father's presence. So we must remember that we did not make our intelligence, that intelligence is only a borrowed gift from the cosmic intelligence. And to forget him is the greatest folly. For when you look at your body, when you look at the world, it seems that you are engaged with everything, that you have no time for God. But every night, he dissolves your body in the subconscious sphere and makes you realize that you are not a man, nor a woman, but a piece of consciousness, a reflection of his consciousness, sleeping in space, in joy. The drama of sleep gave me the greatest faith in God. When anybody told me I am made in the image of God, I laughed, because I couldn't see in this frail body the image of God. But Master said, in the subconscious mirror of sleep, you find that you are infinite. That every night you become the infinite. You are not man nor woman. You are joyous and happy and conscious. But when you wake up, you always know that you were never unconscious in sleep. You exactly know how you sleep. Only you are not conscious of your body. But you are conscious of your real self. And the nest of your troubles starts with the body. So all the gifts and kindness that you have given to me, I want to give this gift to you. Remember these two natures in you. The nature as a man, as a human being during the day, and the nature as God at night. And I often say we are all gods at night. but we become devils during the day. And if we can be gods during the day, we are gods all the time. And this purpose of life must not be drowned into various engagements with matter. We must remember, if God says, I have no time for you, and stop sticking in your heart, all your engagements have to be cancelled immediately. For one of the great sayings in India is, he is the cleverest who finds God. He is the cleverest who gives time to find God. He is the cleverest who finds that supreme happiness within. And he who can stand unshaken amidst the crash of breaking worlds. He whose peace, the riches of peace, cannot be taken away by all the robbers of circumstances and trials. So in this spiritual family, you all remind me by your actions of one whom millions forget. And that's why they suffer. I remember one day I was in the movies. Movies have one fascination, because I see the whole world as movies. I was in the booth and I saw the operator was reading a novel. And I saw this automatic machine was going on and the beam was causing on the screen a terrible horror picture. And I said, Lord, how is it? I have the whole show of the universe in front of me. You are this operator who is thinking of new plays, and your nature is throwing this beam in the sky. And I see the hero and the villain are nothing but pictures. Nobody is killed. Many were being killed and shot in this picture, but I saw from the booth it was the light that had created the villain and the light had created the hero. And a voice said, remember, the villain is created so that you don't become the villain, but that you love the hero. If you become the villain, your throat has to be cut. And now you see that there is no villain, no hero. They are both pictures of my beam. After getting away from the villain and evil, or tasting poison honey, taste the honey of goodness and then come into the beam, and you will realize that all this world which you see of terrible wars and troubles is nothing but a picture show, cosmic motion picture show in the sky. You will be surprised. You never analyze that as soon as you sleep and dream, you can create a world like this, with people suffering from cancer and disease and wars and some smiling, babies born, old men dying. Then when you wake up, you see that all those things were made of your dream consciousness. So remember, this is the same, nothing different. And until you find that out, this world is a terrible show. I said to God, as he was talking to me, but Lord, look at the audience. They are howling and screeching downstairs at this horror show. I see that it's nothing but pictures and light, because I see the invisible beam. There are no murders in the beam, no heroes, not villains in the beam. But Lord, what about the audience? They don't know. Then the voice said, tell them all to look at my beam within, and they will realize that this show was given to entertain them, not to get mixed up with it. That's why, remember, every night he makes you a god. Every night he withdraws you from this cosmic movie and makes you realize you are the son of God. You are made in his image. You cannot be violated or hurt by stones, nor bombs, nor machine guns, nor atomic bombs. Remember, the best shelter is in the silence of your soul. And if you can develop that silence, nothing in the world can touch you. And you can say, jang labdha cha parang labham mannate nadikam tata, having which no other gain becomes greater. Then you can stand unshaken amidst the crash of breaking worlds. Then you are not in any way touched by cold and heat, pleasure and pain. But as soon as you are touched by these, you are with the movies. So I realize this world with terrible wars and troubles. When I see the injustices, I cannot uphold the Father. But when I see that light dancing around me, this is the picture show, then I say, glory to the Father. So remember, on one little piece of thought is the whole universe resting, and when we rub off that thought at night, the whole universe tumbles away. You do not realize that the ocean is present in every drop, and that great power of God is present in every thought. And I do hope that in your kindness to me, you remember this that I told you. Do not get mixed up with this movie, this terrible movie of God. There's one purpose, to get to the beam. Get away from the villain and villainous action and poisoned honey of evil. Drink with the hero the good honey of virtue, then get to the beam. Then you will suddenly realize it was only a show. History has no meaning for me, for God can revive the past in the present and the present in the future. There is no time nor space, everything is happening in your own thought. If you realize that, you will realize the infiniteness of God and the kindness of God and the love of God. He has one thing in mind. He has thrown out from his beam the villain and the good, and he wants to bring them back and make them one with the beam. Thank you, all those that have come from far off, and St. Lynn and all the disciples of the order, thank you for all your kindnesses. And remember this, that with the love of God I love you all, and my life is very little that I can give to you. If you would love him who has sent me. And your kindness reminds me one thing. It doesn't inflate me with pride, though I am very proud of you all. It makes me feel the love of him who loves us all. It's he. It's the Divine Mother of the universe. He is the Mother, he is the Father. Love the Father behind the Father, Mother behind the Mother. Friend behind the friend, only one friend behind all our friends. So remember, one little story I shall tell you. There was a great saint, his name was Vyasa. He was the writer of the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu Bible. And he was sitting by the river Jamuna, and the disciples of Krishna, the greatest prophet of India, they were carrying some cheese. Krishna loved cottage cheese, but he lived on the other side of the river Jamuna. And Jamuna was in flood and all the boats were sunk. So they very much felt for their master, and they saw Vyasa was in samadhi, he was in ecstasy with God. And they sat around Vyasa, and Vyasa woke up and he said, what can I do for you? They said, Krishna is on the other side, and we want to get this cheese to him. The master has not eaten, and the Jamuna is flooded, and we have no boats. Could you tell some way how we can get there? He said, well, you think of Krishna, what about me? I have to eat something. Vyasa was also a great student of Krishna. They couldn't understand how he dared to eat before the master. He says, yes, yes, without myself eating something, I can't do anything. So he ate all the cheese that he could. Then he stands by the river and says, O river Jamuna, if I have not eaten anything, divide up and part. Jamuna parted. Then the students of Krishna said, he ate the cheese in front of us and says, Jamuna, if I didn't eat anything, divide up and part. And the Jamuna, wait. They couldn't understand. They hurriedly passed through. And when they went on the other side and near the camp of Krishna, Krishna used to always in greatest joy meet them. He was sound asleep and his little tummy seemed to be filled. So they woke him up and said, Master, Master, your cheese is here. Oh, he got up and half sleepy. The Master, aren't you interested in cheese today? Oh no, he said. The other fellow sitting on the other side of the river fed me too much. He didn't know when he was eating, he was only giving it to Krishna. So he who has given us this joy, think of him. Whatever you do, give it to him. Do that. And you will find him all the time with you. Yomang pasyati sarvatro sarvancho mui pasyate aham tang napunasyami sachame napunasyati. He who watcheth me always, I watch him always. To the flowers and the stars and human beings, he never loses sight of me, nor I lose sight of him. Thank you for this very wonderful birthday in your heart and in our Father, Mother, and beloved God.